The House will come to order. Good morning, colleagues and guests. Please stand for the flag salute, which this morning will be led by Representative Matt Wingert.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Once again, good morning. Glad to have everyone here this morning. Please remain standing. The opening ceremony this morning will be presented by Representative Jason Conger, District 54 out of Bend. Welcome, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and esteemed colleagues. I thought I would first share a verse that has a lot of meaning to me from the book of Ezekiel. And I looked for a man among them to build up the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What a sad statement for God to make, that none could be found to stand in the gap and take the risks on behalf of their land. And I am pleased today to serve with you who are willing to take those risks and stand up for our state. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we first ask your blessing and protection on Pam Olson, who was in a very bad car accident this morning. May she be safe and swiftly healed from any injury she suffered. Boldly, we ask for your guidance today as we seek to end this 2012 session. May each person here remain willing to stand in the gap on behalf of our state, to take the risks and make the sacrifices we are called on to make, and remind us that ultimately, we are not here to win or lose battles for ourselves, but on behalf of those who sent us. Grant us strength, endurance, patience, and wisdom to continue the fight and to continue to stand up for what we believe is right. And make us wise, Lord, to know when the fight is ended. When we leave here today, hopefully today, may it be with confidence that we've run the race we were sent here to run, and peace in the knowledge that regardless of any particular win or loss, taken together, the work we have done this session will play some part in making Oregon's future a brighter one. Amen.
Thank you very much, Representative. And just as a heads up, Pam Olson was in an accident this morning. Andy was able to return down the road towards home, meet her at the hospital. She's been released and is at home resting and should be just fine. Her car, on the other hand, is not. Courtesies. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues on the side aisle over here, we have a constituent of mine from Gearhart as she walks up. You can't miss her. She's the one wearing the crown. This is Miss Hannah Bacon. She's here with her mother, Tina, today. Hannah is in the running for, she is Miss North Coast Outstanding Teen. She's in the running for a position for a Miss America scholarship program. And her funding is, her platform is funding for the St. Jude's Hospital. She enjoys working with people and she wants to help them recover from their illnesses. She plans to go to college, obtaining a degree in science with additional training in phlebotomy, medical, and laboratory technology. Please join me in welcoming Hannah and her mother and hope that they have a great day at the Capitol today. It's an unusual day. We're very near the end, so you might see some surprises, Hannah. Welcome. And welcome, Tina.
Thank you, Representative. Welcome, Hannah. Good to have you with us in the Capitol this morning. Further courtesies, Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, if you'd look over here to the South Aisle, we have Nick and Whitney with us today. They both grew up in Coos Bay, graduated in 2007 from Marshfield High School. Nick graduated from the University of Oregon last spring, and Whitney will be graduating this upcoming spring with honors. Both Nick and Whitney double majored in political science and international studies, and both focused their education heavily on learning the Arabic language and understanding the history and politics of the Middle East. Both have lived, traveled in the Middle East, Whitney in Morocco, Nick in Jordan. Both currently translate news articles from Arabic language newspapers for the news aggregate site Watching America. And as a senior Arabic translator, they hope to pursue careers with the federal government that utilize these skills. They have displayed great patience and proficiency in their chosen profession because they have spent many hours trying to tutor both Derry Breeden, who worked for me at one point, and Jameson Gideon, who you all know is my chief of staff, in Arabic without giving up. And trust me, I've been trying to train Jameson for a long time. They're doing a better job than I have been. They would also like to extend a warm thanks to everyone here today. And to them I say, marhaba, to your state capital, which means welcome.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you to the two of you for being here with us. Welcome. Further courtesies. Colleagues, today is another member of the body's birthday, Representative Matt Wingert. Happy birthday to you. Verification of a quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Representative Jensen, Representative Greg Smith. Quorum is present. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed Senate Bills 1506, 1512, 1518, 1527, 1528, 1547, 1548, 1555, 1556, 1558, 1559, 1566, 1587, SCR 209 and 210.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. The special committee report file has been distributed. Propositions and motions. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the conference committee report on Senate Bill 1563 be adopted.
Representative Cowan moves that the conference committee report on Senate Bill 1563 be adopted. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The conference committee on House Bill 1563 resolved a difference of opinion around a Senate amendment to the bill, which emerged after differing testimony was heard in each chamber. The amendment adds a requirement that community colleges follow guidelines similar to universities with respect to tuition waivers for dependents of deceased veterans. Of course, we all want to respect the service of our honored veterans. I believe the amendment is not necessarily a first dollar directive, especially if the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs and the community colleges work closely to assure that earned benefits are directed appropriately. I'm pleased with the concurrence agreement, and I want to return us to the purpose of the base bill. It extends certain state law protections and benefits already available to military service personnel, to members of the Commissioned Corps of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, it's easier to say NOAA, and to the United States Public Health Service. I hope you support concurrence.
Thank you, Representative. Co-carrier Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The overriding motivation is quite simple, colleagues. Strong support for disabled veterans, and especially for helping the dependents of those who have lost their lives as a result of military service. These are the people that wrote the blank check, and it was unfortunate that their check was cashed. Each and every service member does write this check. The main issue for the community colleges is concerned about loss of revenue that would otherwise be able to be charged to dependents or deceased veterans because community colleges do not have the same capability or capacity as universities. But in my opinion, the legislation took this into account by not requiring community colleges to waive tuition for dependents of disabled veterans the way universities do. Only a much smaller potential number of students, only for the dependents of deceased veterans. I urge your support.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the motion.
Colleagues, I want to thank you for the work you've done getting this bill through, and it is important, as the representative from Far Eastern Oregon talked about yesterday, that sometimes it's necessary to go to a college closer to home, and by allowing the community colleges in this bill, that will allow some of the surviving members of a family of a serviceman who has died to be able to go to school, and I appreciate your work, and I ask for an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, colleagues, your attention to this matter is appreciated. This is a voice response. Those of the opinion that the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 1563 should be adopted will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion to adopt the committee report on Senate Bill 1563, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Representative Cowan.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House repass Senate Bill 1563.
Representative Cowan moves the House repass Senate Bill 1563. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm glad that we could take care of this little dust-up that we had and respect all of our veterans and our military service people, including the NOAA Commissioned Officers Corps and the U.S. Public Health Service. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none. Those of the opinion that the conference committee report be approved will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Excused for business of the House. Senate Bill 1563, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of second reading of Senate bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Senate Bill 1538 relating to education and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1543 relating to transportation and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1591 relating to travel and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time are passed third reading. Chair requests unanimous consent to advance to the order of business of third reading of Senate bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair requests unanimous consent. The rules be suspended and Senate Bill 1538, 1543, 1591 be read third time immediately. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1538, relating to education and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1538. Representative Dimbrough.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 1538 expands, clarifies, and updates the duties of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, the HEC, within the Oregon Education Investment Board. The HEC is scheduled to come into existence on July 1st, and some work needed to be done to nail down its relationship to the new OEIB. It's the product of bipartisan, bicameral work that's been done over the last 6 months with participation from OUS, the community colleges, independent colleges and universities, the private career schools, and the private universities, and the workforce investment boards. The measure transfers authority over dual credits and transfer credits from the Joint Boards of Education to the Higher Ed Coordinating Commission, effective July 1st, 2012. And colleagues, this will result in the end of that statewide board. The measure also transfers licensing authority of career schools from the State Board of Education to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, effective July 1st, 2013. There's a minimal fiscal impact to this bill, and the Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
And just, I just would follow my my colleague's exceptionally short comments, but just would make the point that a lot of this bill addresses the relationship of the Higher Ed Coordinating Commission with our higher ed world, but that still is only a concept that exists on paper. So I just wanted to add a little impetus to the governor to appoint that committee, and then it could actually begin its good work. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Dimbrough, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote?
Aye.
Beyer votes aye. Senate Bill 1538, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1543, relating to transportation and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1543. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 1543 comes to you from the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee of the Ways and Means Committee with four distinct elements. The first element is a requirement that the Transportation Commission report back to the legislature in November of each year when projects identified in the Jobs and Transportation Act are completed under budget, and that the commission give us a ranked priority list of projects that could be funded with those savings. It also requires the Transportation Commission to reallocate savings from the Jobs and Transportation Act to two specific metro area projects as follows. Number one, savings from the I-5, I-205 interchange directed to interchange at I-84 and 257th in the Troutdale area. That's a critical area for safety and congestion relief, as well as some capacity for some industrial projects there, including a ground distribution facility. Number two, project at Highway 26 and 185th, as well as Cornell's, redirected to the Chute Road interchange, another one that is important for congestion, improvement on safety and freight mobility, and some significant high-tech development just south of that area. Third element, two specific projects in Multnomah County are allocated money from the State Highway Fund $5 million for the Sellwood Bridge. Many of us know how critical that bridge is to the transportation system and how susceptible it is to seismic risk. Also, $9.5 million to safety improvements on Cornelius Pass Road, a portion of which is in Multnomah County, an area that has a history of crashes and carries significant hazardous materials. Finally, Senate Bill 1543 prohibits a maritime pilot or trainee from piloting a vessel on the Coos Bay or Yaquina Bay Bar pilotage grounds if that pilot or trainee has a financial interest in the vessel they are piloting, except for in emergencies. It's been the subject of a number of discussions, received good support, and I hope we'll earn your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Reed does not wish to close. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Frederick, how do you vote? Frederick votes aye. Representative Springer votes aye. Senate Bill 1543, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1591, related to travel and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1591. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it's my privilege today to bring you Senate Bill 1591, which moves the management responsibility of 17 rest areas to add to the existing 9 rest areas currently managed by the Oregon Travel Information Council, or the Oregon Travel Experience, as they're now known. This is an agency that is passionate about making these rest areas safe, clean, and welcoming to the traveling public, and has demonstrated its ability to do so by solving some long-standing problems with crime and homelessness in the rest areas that they currently manage. And I guess I would just refer you to the Baldock rest area down here on I-5 as an example of that. The bill not only transfers the rest areas along I-5 and I-84 to the Oregon Travel Experience, but also makes sure that the 2 rest areas currently closed by ODOT remain open to those traveling in Oregon. One of those would be in my district, and I can tell you over the course of the interim, I think the most email responses I had from constituents was about the potential closure of the government camp rest area. It is a hot topic, if you will, amongst our constituents. We don't often get the opportunity to see what outside-the-box thinking can do, and a can-do attitude can make a difference, but Senate Bill 1591 will allow the Oregon Travel Experience to extend its excellent work more broadly as it works with local governments, businesses, and community groups to make sure Oregon's rest areas are something that we all can be proud of. Colleagues, this bill passed out of the Senate unanimously, and I'll just give you a few little details here that will help perhaps answer a few questions, but the funding that will be provided to OTE will be available in 3 phases. March 12th of this year, $457,000 will be provided to open the 2 rest areas closed by ODOT, the one in Tillamook and the one in Government Camp. January then of 2013, the OTE annual payment for rest areas will increase from its current $3 million to $4.96 million to pay for the additional 9 rest areas on I-84. And then in January of 2014, that amount will be increased to the $6.55 million amount for an additional 6 rest areas on I-5. Colleagues, I think we all know that from the exposure perspective, as we talk about tourism, we talk about people traveling our highways and byways in the state of Oregon, it's a value to have these areas be pleasant, clean, safe, and I think they also have the ability to actually enhance our marketability as a state and encourage some economic growth and development at the local level as well. So it's a good concept. I would appreciate your aye vote. I think it's a great, great bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Johnson does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 1591, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Colleagues, if you would be patient, we will stand at ease for just a few moments.